Hello. Thank you for joining us today. My name is Tom Lane with Sabbath Bible Study. We are each blessed in many different ways by God, and sometimes we overlook these special gifts. Throughout the Bible are many stories about gifts, and even Jesus received gifts as a baby. Shortly after his birth, wise men came from the east seeking Jesus to worship him, and this bothered Herod. While people traditionally think of the number of wise men as three, the Bible gives no clear number. When the wise men finally found Jesus, they presented gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. Matthew 2, verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor, and that shall rule my people Israel.'" Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also." When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. In the story of the wise men and the baby Jesus, it was the wise men who gave the gifts. The Bible shows that God gives gifts. Unlike the gifts we might receive with batteries not included or some assembly required, there is nothing bad attached to what God gives us. God will never tempt us with evil. When God gives us a gift, it is a good and perfect gift. God never gives a gift that evolves on us to become something bad when it first appears to be good. The good and perfect gifts that God gives will always be good and perfect and are given so that we will be like the first fruits of his plan of salvation. James 1, verse 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, "I am tempted of God." For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. That when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. The good and perfect gifts that God gives us are spiritual in nature. Anything that physically benefits us on this side of eternity is limited by its physical existence. Whether a car, a home, clothes, or furniture, anything we physically own is subject to repair or replacement. What we are given spiritually by God will be with us well into eternity. We are to use the spiritual gifts we have been given, not for selfish interests, but in service to others, whether these others be in the faith or not. More than ever, we live in a time where in most countries the people see a war, and in another country the people only hear a rumor of war. And we know we are moving closer to the end of time. Now is not the time to prematurely celebrate a victory in Jesus Christ, but to be sober knowing that difficult days are in our future. We need to be prayerful in our approach as we support each other in love. Love covers many sins, and the love we have for others is no different. In everything we do, we are to act sincerely without feeling like we are owed anything. Do everything we do to the best of our ability. 1 Peter 4, verse 7. But the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. We all want those good and perfect gifts from God that are spiritual in nature, and there is a connection between these good and perfect gifts and treating others as we would want to be treated. First, we should expect nothing if we do not ask God, and this applies to spiritual gifts. Jesus promises that if we ask, it will be given us, and if we seek, we will find it. If we knock on the door, it will be opened. All of these require purpose and action on our part. In our life, there has to be more than a spiritual fantasy that we call the kingdom of God. We have to have purpose and action aligned to the kingdom of God. Jesus explained that even evil people, people who know nothing about God, people who are opposed to God, people who deny God, know how to give good gifts to their children. It is with this concept of asking and receiving good and perfect gifts from God that we are told of the connection between asking for and receiving these good and perfect gifts and treating others as we would want to be treated. When others ask for our help, for our ability to provide a good and perfect gift as we are able, we need to help and assist. Matthew 7, verse 7. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. When it came to receiving from God, Jesus taught of the need for faith and prayer. Jesus was with his disciples when they came across a fig tree. Hoping to find fruit on it and being disappointed, Jesus proclaimed that no person would ever eat from that tree again. The very next day, Peter noticed that the fig tree was withered and dead. Jesus used this as a teachable moment, showing how faith can impact a physical object, explaining that we must ask without any doubt. And if we do this, we will have what we ask for. He taught the disciples that whatever they wanted, they should pray to receive, and they would have what they wanted. Mark 11, verse 20. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. If we have faith without doubt, then nothing will come between us and what we desire. Whenever there is even the smallest amount of doubt, we give ourselves wiggle room, a reason to not succeed. Part of the faith that Jesus mentioned to his disciples involves action. If we want something and ask God for this something, then we must act on that desire. We seek, we knock, we open the door. We take action in faith. We do not act without faith. We do not have faith without action. We act with faith. God gives a variety of spiritual gifts to his people. And even though there is a variety of gifts, there is one God and one Jesus. These gifts manifest in different ways and bring different perspectives, just like changing clothes can make a person look different. And in the end, that person will still be the same person, and the different spiritual gifts we are given does not change that there is one God and one Jesus. Sometimes these spiritual gifts filter the focus of ministers. And even with these filters, ministers of God are still ministers of God. The unique spiritual gifts that might be given may pivot the look of the message or ministry, but it cannot change the truth. Some may be given wisdom and others knowledge. Some may be blessed with a bounty of faith as others heal. Having different gifts doesn't change the fact there is one Holy Spirit, one God, one Jesus. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. Even though we are all individuals, we are all part of the same church. There should be no confusion that as God sees his church, there is one church. Because of the hardness of the hearts of man, and because we focus incorrectly on a gift of the Spirit, singular, rather than the gifts of the Spirit, plural, we the people have segmented God's church into this group or that group, when in God's view, it is one church. Because of the hardness of the hearts of man, and because we focus incorrectly on a gift of the Spirit rather than the gifts of the Spirit, some with one group despise those in another group, or do not accept these others as brothers or sisters in Christ. The church is not one person, but many people, and no person is any more or any less important within the church. Verse 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. All who are part of the church are important. There are no unimportant church members. There are no church members who can be ignored or forgotten. All are important to the church. Within God's church, there is no reason for division. And yet, as God's church, we are divided with many different groups. Instead of being divided, we should be united in our love and support for each other. Sometimes we get sidetracked by different positions that Jesus gave to the church so that the saints could achieve perfection. Instead of focusing on the needs of the brethren and the need for perfection, we get sidetracked by the office of a person. Whether apostle, prophet, teacher, or even evangelist, all of these positions are within the church for the perfecting of the saints. These positions may be more noticeable, but not more important than any other person within God's church. Verse 21. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to the part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God hath sent some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of the healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. The more excellent way that Paul just mentioned is love, the topic of 1 Corinthians 13. The gifts that God gives us are different than many other types of gifts we might receive. In our material world, we might receive a free phone as long as we commit to a contract for a certain length of time. Or we might get the gift of a very good price for an internet or streaming service, only to later find that price was for a limited time only. When God gives us a gift, God won't unilaterally take it back from us. It is only when we completely reject what God has given us that we run that risk. When God calls us and gives us spiritual gifts, God does not later recall that gift. That offer is always open to us. God will not give us the Holy Spirit just to later take it away from us. God has shown mercy to us and given us the Holy Spirit, and will have another type of mercy for all who are not called at this time. There should be no feelings of superiority in our calling, because we have all received a different kind of mercy. Romans 11, verse 25. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sakes. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. For as ye in times past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief. Even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. For God hath concluded them in all unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. One of the gifts that God gives us is the ability to benefit from what we individually and collectively do. And the greatest benefit comes to us when we can be happy and rejoice in life. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 10. I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also he hath set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. I know that there is no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor, it is the gift of God. Overlooked when considering gifts is the need to be giving to others. In Luke, it is recorded that Jesus said, if we give, it will be given to us according to how generous we are. Jesus, in his example, shows that it will be other people returning the favor to us. Though as we read the passage, it is easy to see there is a spiritual benefit to our actions, with the overall lesson about avoiding hypocrisy. Too often, when we think of being generous with God, we limit our thinking to money and things of tangible value, as if God has any need of these things. If we limit our focus and thoughts of being generous to God and link this to money, we are limiting God to be transactional, almost as if buying something at your favorite store or restaurant has a transactional component. If we want to receive spiritual gifts to God, we must be rich in our spiritual giving to God. Luke 6, verse 37. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. And he spake a parable unto them, can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? The disciple is not above the master, but every one that is perfect shall be as his master. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but perceiveth not the beam that is in thine own eye? Either how can thou say to thy brother, brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thine eye, when thou thyself beholdest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, cast out first the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to pull the mote that is in thy brother's eye. The gifts that God gives us are given to us freely. There's an expectation that we do something with these gifts more than just having these gifts. And this expectation is shown to us in the passage from Matthew 25, where Jesus compared the kingdom of God to a man traveling a great distance and had given his possessions to his servants. When this man returned from his trip, he wanted to know what the three servants had done with the possessions. Two of the three servants had doubled their gift, and the third had buried the gift, hiding it from view and use. When God gives us a gift, a spiritual gift, there is an expectation that we increase the magnitude of that gift. We should never be in a place where we do nothing with the spiritual gifts given to us, or where we hide these spiritual gifts so that they are of no use to us or others. Those who magnify the spiritual gifts they have been given are profitable servants and will enter into eternal life. And those who hide the spiritual gifts, who do not grow the spiritual gifts they have been given, will not. Matthew 25, verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he had received 5 talents, came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast, that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance, but from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. In 1 John, we are given a strategy in what we ask of God. John starts by telling us that we know God will hear our requests in what we ask of him. And the short-sighted thought might be that God will give us what we want. That's not exactly what John is telling us. John is telling us that God will seriously listen to requests we bring to him. The big ask made in connection to receiving from God is about whom we frame these asks. John then adds, if we see any person sinning, not blasphemy of the unpardonable sin, but other types of sin, we can ask God to spare the life of this person, and God will give us this gift. Instead of looking down on a person whom we believe to be in sin, John tells us to pray to God so that the life of this person can be spared. We become instruments in one of God's gifts, the gift of mercy. 1 John 5, verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. all unrighteousness is sin, and there is sin not unto death. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. If we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness, and we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Even with the incredible gift of the Holy Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit, Paul found it necessary to remind Timothy to stir up this incredible gift from God. Paul provides a reminder that we cannot allow the Holy Spirit in our calling to become a low priority. When looking at just about any mixed beverage, over time, the beverage ingredients will separate. For example, when looking at orange juice, if left to rest in a container, the pulp and juice will separate. Paul is reminding us that we cannot segment the Holy Spirit in our calling within our life. There is never a time when we are not a Christian. We never take a vacation from being faithful, and we must remain this way even in the most challenging times where we might be tested, knowing that the spirit we have been given is not a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. Each of us needs to remind ourselves of the need to remain faithful in everything we do, day in and day out, knowing that we strive not for a measurement of physical life, but for the reality of eternal life. 2 Timothy 1, verse 6. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. When it comes to gifts, God loves a cheerful giver. If we sow sparingly, we will reap sparingly. Essentially, we get from God what we give. Many ministers have limited the meaning of these verses by solely or mostly focusing on money, co-opting these verses in an attempt to maximize donations to the church. God has no need for our money, and unless we sincerely believe that God measures spiritual success through the accumulation of physical wealth, there is no basis to present any verse in being rich towards God as a means to a financial appeal. God gives the greatest spiritual gifts to those who most earnestly seek the kingdom of God and God's righteousness over other things. When looking at giving of physical items or wealth, Paul shows that we are to share with others in need, that the riches the ministry is to have are spiritual riches, so that the ministers may feed the spiritual needs of the church. When Paul talks about being a cheerful giver with a primary focus of our need to earnestly seek first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness as one way how we give to God, Paul also discusses the need for sharing physical wealth with what is presented as sharing wealth with not only ministers, but to all people in need. Paul doesn't delineate how to prioritize sharing of physical wealth. He doesn't specify how to divide or determine the need between the minister and all other people in need. But the fact that ministers are compared to all other people in need should indicate to us that ministers should not be living a rich or elite lifestyle. Because people who live a rich and elite lifestyle are living in great abundance. Circling back to the spiritual gifts we have been given, these are the greatest gifts we can receive for which we must be deeply appreciative towards God. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward ye, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God for the administration of this service, not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God, wills by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjugation unto the gospel of Christ and for your liberal distribution unto them and to all men. And by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. David wrote of the loving nature of God who provides for us, writing in the 23rd Psalm how even in the most troubling of situations, God abundantly provides for us. Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. To the Colossians, Paul wrote that whatever we choose to do, act as if we are serving Jesus Christ and not men. When we give to people, it is as if we are giving to Jesus Christ, knowing we will receive the gift of eternal life at the return of Jesus. Colossians 3, verse 23. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. Finally, Jesus reminds us, if we ask God in the name of Jesus Christ, God will give it to us. And again, the focus is spiritual, not physical. John 16, verse 23. And in that day, you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. It is God's good pleasure to give us the kingdom of God upon the return of Jesus Christ. Receiving gifts from God requires our commitment to God. Eternal life is a gift of God and is only given with a continued commitment to God. The greatest gifts we can receive are not the physical gifts. We know from many verses that God will supply our physical needs. The greatest gifts we can receive are spiritual gifts. And receiving these gifts is linked to our seeking first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness. Thank you for joining us today. God willing, we'll get together next time on the Sabbath. Until then, thank you for joining us today.